Say, boys and girls, I happen to know that Uncle Dan has another exciting chapter in the lives of Abraham and Lot ready for us.
That's right, Aunt Sue. And we invite all of you to read this story in your Bibles. It's found in Genesis chapter 19. I call it
Sodom.
When God confused the language at the Tower of Babel, the people scattered in all directions, going into all parts of the world. Canaan, the grandson of Noah, moved westward and settled near the great sea.
This is a goodly land. We will settle here. You, Sidon, my firstborn son, will choose whatever land you desire from the northernmost part of the great sea to the southmost part. The rest of you, my sons, will choose according to your ages. We will occupy this land, control it forever and ever.
Most illustrious father.
Yes, yes, Sidon, my firstborn, speak up.
Here in this land of plenty, shall we worship the God of heaven?
The God of heaven? Who's he?
Oh, surely my father jests.
Listen, all of you, my sons. I worship no being. I reverence and worship money, wealth, power, pleasure, and luxury. Do you understand?
Yes, my father.
Above all, forget about God. Our fathers before us obeyed God, and what did it get them? Death. Death is ordained for all. So while you live, enjoy yourselves.
Many years later...
Sidon, my firstborn son, I called you to me because I am full of years and about to die.
Nonsense, my father. These old bones of yours are good for many a year yet.
Son, listen to me. Perhaps I was wrong. Perhaps, after all, it is best to believe in the God of heaven and obey his voice.
You're hysterical, father. Out of your head.
No, son. I'm just getting close to my grave. And the nearer I get, the less I'm sure that our way of life is right. What if we are wrong? What if Adam, Noah, and the rest of them are right? I just wanted to talk to you about it while I'm still alive.
Well, my father, you can stop worrying. You have talked to me, and everything's going to be all right. I'll tell you what, father. Come with me back to my cities. We'll make you forget that you're up in years. We'll show you that wealth and power and brute force are, as you once said, the only things worthy of reverence and worship.
I've heard about your cities, my son.
The best place in all the earth to live.
It's said that you have respect for no one or no thing.
Excepting wealth and leisure. And the giving of oneself over to a life of pleasure and passions. Oh, come back with me, my father, and see for yourself.
Yes. I think I'd like to see Sodom and Gomorrah.
You'll love them. There she is, my father. Sodom.
Impressive, my son.
And from this vantage point, one can see the entire Jordan Valley, spread out before you like a panoramic view.
It's beautiful. Like a garden. The Garden of Eden, perhaps.
Oh, yes, indeed, father. Palm trees and olives, flowers throughout the entire year, rich fields of grain, flocks, herds. And we've developed art and commerce to the degree where the treasures of the East adorn our palaces. Caravans from all parts of the earth bring their stores of precious things to supply our marts of trade and enrich our private coffers. We never work, father. Our every want is supplied by others. And the entire year is just one endless round of festivity and revelry. Come on, father. I'll take you into the city. Your grandchildren will be glad to see you.
City walls look strong enough.
No, the strongest. We took pains to make them that way.
And the gates, are they guarded night and day?
Every second of the time. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I want you to watch something, my father. You see that man walking towards the city gate?
Yes.
Well, I want you to watch what happens when he reaches the gate.
What will happen?
Just watch.
Who is he?
A stranger. Looks like a traveler going no place in particular. Now, see the gate guards approaching the man? They're asking him some questions. I thought so. He is just a traveler, come to our city merely to stay the night.
They're beating him! They'll kill him!
Well, sometimes they do.
But why?
We don't like strangers here in Sodom, my father. Unless they're merchants who have come to ply their trade with us. We welcome to our city only those who will contribute to our wealth and pleasure. Just a traveler like that man? No, we don't want them, not even for a night. They steal our time and occupy our space. A wayfarer never comes a second time.
Heartless.
Of course it's heartless. That's what you taught me, Father. And it's profitable to us, to our city, and to me.
Years passed. Canaan died. Then Sidon, his son. Continued idleness and riches made the Sodomite heart hard that had never been oppressed by want or burdened by sorrow. And the people gave themselves up to sensual indulgence. Then, one day, from the mountains, there came a lone man with a long line of servants and cattle and sheep, camels and horses.
Just a minute, stranger. You can't enter Sodom without just reason. Are you a merchant?
No, guard. I am not a merchant.
Who are you, then? What do you want here in Sodom?
Well, I'm not sure that's any of your affair. However, I am come to make Sodom my home. I am Lot, nephew of Prince Abram of Hebron.
Lot? The wealthy Lot?
My Uncle Abram is probably the wealthiest man in these parts, and I am the second wealthiest.
Well, welcome to the city of Sodom, Prince Lot. Enter.
Please stop crying.
All Sodom makes fun of me.
It isn't you they make fun of. They ridicule our religion. They don't believe in God, and they think we're silly to believe in God.
I don't have to keep on telling them I believe in God, do I? And you don't either, Lot. Please, for my sake, don't mention our religion anymore. Please.
It's our duty to live it and to talk about it and try to get them to believe in God.
You know it won't do any good. They merely turn a deaf ear to your pleadings. So please, please don't mention it anymore. For my sake.
Suddenly, out of the wilderness, came the Elamite forces and waged a surprise attack against Sodom. Lot and many fellow Sodomites were taken captive by the Elamites. Hearing of this calamity, Prince Abraham, together with three princes of Hebron, set off after the Elamite forces and finally rescued Lot and all the other Sodomites who had been carried away captive.
Oh, Uncle Abram, I knew you'd rescue us. You're such a good man. Why, I wasn't a bit worried.
Upon Abraham's return to Sodom, the king of Sodom came out to honor Abraham and his three confederates. The king bade Abraham take all the spoils of the battle, asking only that the prisoners should be restored.
Be it known to you, O king of Sodom, that I did not engage in this rescue mission for profit or gain. Rather, I did it because the God of heaven, whom I obey and worship, bids everyone love his neighbor as himself. Do unto others, God says, as you would have others do to you. The prisoners are restored to their homes. The God of heaven is the one and only true God. He is a God of love. He is a God who created all things, and by his
Abraham, the friend of God, faithfully called the king and the wicked people of Sodom to turn from their sinful ways. Even before the war, Abraham had not been a stranger to the Sodomites. They had ridiculed him in his strange worship of an unseen God. But his victory over the superior Elamite forces and his kindly disposition of the prisoners and spoils excited the wonder and the admiration of the people. While they praised his personal skill and valor, yet they could not avoid the conviction that a divine power had made him conqueror over the Elamites.
Even so, the people refused to change their ways or worship the true God, but rather continued in their pride, idleness, and evil ways. It was some years later that Abraham had three visitors, two angels and the Son of God. They told Abraham that they were on their way to destroy the wicked city of Sodom. Abraham, out of love and pity for the doomed people, pleaded that Sodom be saved if only 10 faithful worshipers could be found there. Mercifully, the Lord said he would spare the city if 10 righteous people were found.
And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place.
The last ray of truth had been directed at Sodom, but it was rejected, as all truth before had been. And now, the last night of Sodom was approaching. Already the clouds of vengeance cast their shadow over the wicked city. While angels drew near on their mission of destruction, men were dreaming of prosperity and pleasure. That last day was like every other day that had come and gone. The sun rose on the eastern horizon. The city came to life. Men dreamed and made plans for greater prosperity and pleasure. Children played in the streets. Feasting and drunkenness were everywhere. Evening fell upon a scene of loveliness and security. The landscape of unrivaled beauty was bathed in the rays of the declining sun. The coolness of eventide called forth the inhabitants of the city. Pleasure-seeking throngs were passing to and fro, intent upon the enjoyment of the hour.
Follow me to the city gate, good friends, and I'll show you an exciting evening. Fun, frolic, everyone is welcome.
In the twilight, two strangers drew near to the city gate.
I say, friends, look approaching. Two strangers. Oh, they're going to be surprised when we give them a special welcome. The Sodom welcome.
But you want to be sure they're strangers and not merchants or friends of some of our citizens.
Well, look at them. They're humble dress. Would you say they are visiting kings come to call on us?
No.
And perhaps they're wealthy and powerful men come to enrich us with their money.
No.
Would you say that they are merchants?
Well, they certainly don't appear to be.
Well, then they must be gods, and we should bow down and worship them?
I guess you're right. They're just strangers, wayfarers, come to spend the night. All right, let's give them the special Sodom welcome.
And you, my dear sir, because you dared question my judgment in the first place, you shall have the honor and the fun of beating them within an inch of their lives.
Me?
They shall get a double special welcome.
It'll be a pleasure.
We spent so much time arguing, it's too late. See, the two strangers are being welcomed to Sodom. Really welcome.
It's Lot.
Well, it's always that man Lot. All he does is sit there at the city gate to give a welcoming hand to strangers.
Well, he says it's a code of his religion.
Well, this is one time he's not going to get away with it. These strangers are fair game for anyone. And I'm going to have some fun with them, Lot or no Lot.
Perhaps he'll invite the strangers to stay at his home overnight.
Well, we can go there, can't we?
Well, Lot is a citizen, too, you know, with rights to deal with strangers as he sees fit.
So do we have that right. And we're going to take it. Even if we have to go right up to Lot's door to do it.
Say, I'd like to listen in on exactly what Lot tells strangers. He must say something special to them the way he...
You certainly are welcome to tarry all night at my home. My family and I would consider it an honor.
Nay, but we will abide in the street.
In the street? No, 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 you can't do that. It wouldn't be safe.
Safe? What kind of people inhabit this city anyway?
They're terrible, sirs. All they think about is pleasure, drinking, brutal games, perversion. Sirs, the people of Sodom have repeatedly refused to listen to the voice of God, calling them to repentance. Their cup of iniquity runneth over.
Perhaps it would be wise to accept of your hospitality.
Yes, yes, indeed. I was going to take you by a roundabout way, hoping to conceal from those idlers at the gate my intention of taking you to my home.
Are they that wicked? Vicious?
Yes, sir. They They see you now and are watching, so we may as well take the direct route to my home. Come.
Would they dare attack us while we're in your company?
I wouldn't think so. Yet it depends. If they're out for an evening of revelry and drunkenness, they might.
You're a generous host, Lot, you and your wife. My companion and I appreciate it. You spoke of it not being safe for strangers here in Sodom. Now that we're here, guests at your home, perhaps it would be safe for us to look about the city.
Oh, no, no, oh, no, sir. I beg of you, do not venture outside of this house.
You seem concerned. Much more concerned over two strangers than the circumstances warrant.
Well, sir, perhaps you have heard about Prince Abram of Hebron. He is my uncle. He is a faithful worshiper of the true God of heaven. Through the years, Uncle Abram gave me many good examples of true hospitality. That and the fact that I, too, try to live according to God's admonition to do unto others as I would have them do to me makes me what I am today. Do I hear something?
Sounds like an angry mob.
Could it be the idlers from the city gate coming here?
It probably is. I guess I'd better go out there. If they aren't handled just right, they might break in and take you by force.
Come on, let's get them. Lot, we know you're in there. We also know you have two strangers with you. Bring those men out here or we'll come in and get them.
I'm going out and talk to them.
Fellow brothers of Sodom, do not do this wicked thing against me and my guests.
Who are you to tell us what to do? Are you our judge? Ha! If you don't hand those two men over to us right now, we'll do even worse to you than do it to those two strangers.
Lot, come inside.
Oh, you shouldn't have pulled me in like that. Won't do any good. Now they'll break down the door and do violence to all of us.
No, Lot. Those men outside, small and great, old and young, all of them are struck with blindness, so that they will presently weary of trying to find the door and leave.
Struck with blindness? You? Your angels?
We are angels.
You're here in Sodom, in my home, for a specific reason?
The inhabitants of Sodom have passed the limits of divine forbearance. The cry of it has become great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us here to destroy it.
Angels! You will save us from that angry mob outside.
You, Lot, endeavored to protect us. Now we, in turn, shall protect you. We will save you from the destruction of Sodom. You and all the members of your family who will flee with you from this wicked city.
Flee? From Sodom? But this is our home. We've worked hard to build this home, and now leave it? Oh, no! No! No!
Make haste, Lot. Time is short.
But, Angel, we have children and grandchildren in another part of the city. Is there not time to warn them so they, too, may flee from the destruction of Sodom?
There is time. Go at once. Warn them.
Lot, the angry people outside, they...
Fear not. Fear not, my wife. The angry mob has dispersed.
But, Father, you must be joking.
No, my daughter, I am not joking. I was never more serious in my life. The city of Sodom is to be destroyed. Get up, go with me, that you may not be destroyed also.
Pay no attention to him. He's getting old, he's a little touch.
Lord God is destroying Sodom because her cup of iniquity is filled.
Nonsense.
My daughter, won't you come with me and escape while there is yet time?
No, she will not. Now listen, old man, get going. Go on back home. Sleep on it. In the morning, you'll feel different.
But I tell you that the angel said that...
I don't care what the angel said. Sodom destroyed. Why, everything is just like it's been for years. Sodom is not going to be destroyed.
I beg of you, my daughters and sons-in-law, please
consider... Good night, Pops.
All right, I'll leave. Good night.
Sorrowfully, Lot returned to his house and told the story of his failure. Then the angel said,
Arise, Lot, and take your wife and two daughters who yet remain with you here, and leave the city.
And leave my other daughters and their families to be destroyed? Oh, it's more than I can bear.
But Lot did not want to leave his possessions, and his wife refused to go. was hard to forsake their luxurious home and all the wealth they had acquired over the many years of their toil and labor. Stupefied with sorrow, they lingered. If it had not been for the angels of God, they would all have perished in the ruin of Sodom. Mercifully, the angels took Lot, his wife, and their two daughters by the hand and quickly led them through the streets and out of the city.
We leave you here, Lot, for we must return and destroy Sodom. Hasten and make your escape.
As the angel left Lot, another drew near. It was he with whom Abraham had pleaded, the Son of God. In all the cities of the plain, not 10 righteous persons had been found. But in answer to Abraham's prayer, Lot, the one man who feared and obeyed God, was snatched from destruction. Now the command was given with startling vehemence, "Escape for thy life, Lot, and look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed."
"I plead with thee, O Lord, let me escape to Zoar, for it is but a little city, and it is nearby."
The Lord granted Lot's request. Then again the words were repeated, "Escape for thy life, Lot, for the fiery storm shall be delayed but a little longer, and look not back, lest the memory of it be thy undoing." Lot, with his wife and two daughters, started across the few miles of plain for the town of Zoar.
"I tell you, Lot, it isn't right to make us leave Sodom. God's judgment against Sodom involves me and my children. God shouldn't expect me to leave them and my beautiful home. Sure, Sodom is a wicked city and worthy to be destroyed. But how about the things it's taken us years and years of hard work to accumulate? Does the Lord expect us to give those things up? Why can't God temper justice with mercy?"
"Why?"
"Well, it's true. Back there in Sodom are all the things I love. My daughters and their..." "Lot, Sodom isn't yet destroyed. See, it still stands. I can see where my..."
"What is it?"
"Mother!
Oh.
Mother! What happened?"
"Daughters, come. We must go on without your mother. She has disobeyed God and looked back. She has turned to a pillar of salt."
The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot and his two daughters entered the town of Zoar. That same morning, the sun was also rising on the city of Sodom. The bright rays of that morning sun seemed to speak only prosperity and peace to the city. The stir of active life began as usual in its streets. Men were going their various ways, intent on the business or pleasure of the day. The sons-in-law of Lot arose, and as usual, they were served breakfast by their wives.
"And what's so funny, my husband, on this bright, sunshiny morning?"
"Your father."
"My father?"
"His obsession that Sodom is going to be destroyed."
"Oh, last night."
"Yeah, last night. Look out the window. Sodom, is it destroyed? Isn't Sodom the most beautiful and secure city in all the world? Oh, Sodom can't be destroyed, regardless of what your dear old father thinks and says."
"Well, he means all right."
"Means all right," she said. "He's a weak-minded old man, scared of his own shadow."
"You'll have to admit that Sodom is a wicked city."
"Other cities and other people have been wicked. And were they destroyed? They were not."
"Oh, you forget your history, my dear husband. The entire world was destroyed by the flood. Hmm. All except Noah and his family."
Well, that's different."
"How about the Tower of Babel? Is that different, too?"
Well, look, I don't follow your reasoning. What's your point, anyway?"
"Nothing. I'm just defending my father."
Okay. "I don't mind what the old man says. He's harmless." "Which reminds me, your two sisters, the ones living at home, are they ever going to be mad when he drags them out of this..." "Storm? Well, it can't be. There isn't a cloud in the sky."
Maybe this is the end of Sodom."
"Oh, nonsense, such a thing."
"Fire! Wait. There's fire everywhere!
Fire?
Everything's
fire.
Burning!
Fire! Come out that door! Fire! Fire!
And the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and all that which grew upon the ground.